نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد مالنا الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي الغالب. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وصحابي وبارك وسلم. أما
whenever a person is presented with an event or an incident or there are circumstances in life for a person, then behind that there's definitely some reason. There's some reason behind it. Due to a reason, that incident takes place. For example, I'll give you an example. That we have a car, a vehicle, and it's driving nicely. It's functioning nicely. And whilst you're driving, it stops. The vehicle, the car. Then what does a person do? What does he think in his mind? That what reason is it that's caused this car to stop? That's the first question that comes into your mind. What's the reason that the car stopped or is cut out? Then he seeks the solution or the answer. Is it a puncture? The tire's punctured, or is the battery failed, or is some wire loose? So and so, thousands of. He looks and he seeks and tries to find, and then he finds out that root cause, because he wants to drive the car. Isn't it? He's not going to leave the car and go. Is it? Oh, it's broken now. Okay, let's leave it. No. He knows that if I can't leave the car, without the car, I cannot live. I need the car. I need it to drive. So he tries that person that, let me find out the reason, the root cause, why it's broken down, so I can eliminate that root cause, so I can drive the car. Because without driving, without the car, I can't live. Anyhow, he tries the person. And that person, that nuks, that defect in the car, he finds it out. He roots it out. And he takes it to a garage and he repairs it. As soon as it's repaired, he drives it on the road and then he utilizes it again. Yeah, and then it drives at speed and with enjoyment, he arrives to the destination. So what do we learn here is that the car broke down, or it failed, and there was some reason why it broke down. And he looked for that reason, diagnosed it, repaired it, and it started to drive. Allah Ta'ala, you know, because thoughts come in our mind, we think about things. That's why we're gathered together, to think. There's no other real objective, you know, to get together, to gather. It's pure fikr, concern, attention. I come with this fikr that Allah Ta'ala, so He can improve our hereafter. That's it. The tests to come are severe. The night of the grave is very severe, my friends. It's not far at all. It's not far at all. With speed, the days and nights of life pass. Days and nights pass with speed. Various individuals in front of us have passed away. Some are being born, some are dying, and the system of the world is continuing. And in the same system, we will also pass away when you disappear from the dunya. Nobody asks, where has he gone? Yes, it's a place, it just becomes silent. The graveyard, it's a mound of earth, and he's buried underneath that. All those fussiness and all the life and the glamour and the glitz is gone. So with this fikr, a person, if he stays alive with this concern, then a great life it is. Every moment he thinks, Allah, where I'm going to go, please make those phases of life easy for me. So that's the concern, the fikr. Let's think. That with regards to the car, when it breaks down, we have a concern. a fikr. Allah Ta'ala has given us iman, belief. And with iman, Allah has given us Qur'an. And with the Qur'an, Allah has given us awareness of ihsan. Ihsan, realization. Look at the phases. Allah has given us iman, not some minor iman. Yes? That some sahabi, maybe he was hanged, and he attained the iman due to the experience of the iman. And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu was laid on the hot, burning sand and fire. The Sahaba Ikram, they bore hunger, and they had to tie stones and rocks to their stomachs to bear the weight. And on their bodies, there was the wounds of swords and spears. That's the iman they attained, hardcore, solid iman. And our iman, mashallah, look at our sajda, look at their sujood, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. Look at the libas in which they used to remember Allah. They didn't eat dates. One date they had to suck it. Yes, few sahaba, and then they broke the fast. They didn't eat the dates. That's the iman they had. La ilaha illallah. Me and you, the iman that we've been given, tell me. Hot beds, nice food, delicious delicacies, nice big cars in our pockets and bank balances. There's money, beautiful dress, libas, clothes, easy life. Little bit of something we suffer, we can't bear it. If something isn't according to our liking, we say, how did this happen? And then we complain to Allah. Imagine. Can anyone imagine? And that despite of all of this, the hardships and the Sahaba Ikram, they're being wounded, their hands are cut, they're being hanged upside down. And their bodies, there's wounds, and with the fire, that the fat of the body is being roasted due to this iman that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Did any Sahabi noble companion complain that Allah Ta'ala, why you give me this difficulty? Rather, they were grateful. They were grateful to Allah Ta'ala. Whatever there is, it's at least I've got iman, because this difficulty is only for a short while. Their iman was such that their iman would go into experience mode. Wherever I'm going, what place Allah Ta'ala will deliver me to, all of the good places with this strong iman. And us, that we have fuss so much, complaints and criticisms. I won't say that on Allah's rewards, but even if that Allah gives us a test, even then we're complaining. Look at the condition that we're living in our iman. Ummate Musa, he came. Musa, Isa, he came. All of the Nabis, the previous Nabis, the Ummas will come. The Kitabs of Allah, they came. But nobody was given the destiny that we have of reading Quran, Surah Yasin. Allah Ta'ala has given us this Quran. That from this Ummah's tongue, and not just from the tongue, the Quran's been given to us to absorb into the hearts. Yasin wal Quran al Hakim. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ Such a kitab, previous ummas got Tawrat, Injil, different scriptures. But this Quran, when you're reading everything. The Tawrat is in here, the Injil is in here, all the previous scriptures in here, subhanAllah. All of the Sahaba, the guidance they got. We are being given this kitab to read in our homes, in our pockets, on our phones. Is the Quran, in our hearts is the Quran. Is this not the case? I'm talking, this is concern, fikr. Just pay attention on these points I'm discussing. It's a discussion we're having. And ibadah, so much ibadah, high grade worship Allah has given to us, such high grade, excellent ibadah Allah has given to us. Allah says, your worship is so fantastic that you can see Allah through your worship. Allah is watching you and you can see Allah through your worship. This is the status and the rank of the ibadah Allah Ta'ala has bestowed to us and given to us when we're sat in the masjid. Imagine where were the companions, Sahaba, where's our lives of enjoyment and luxury? So where's the difference coming? Where's the difference coming? No companion ever thought I'll leave Salah, that I will break some order of Allah, that we have to beg people to follow the sunnah of the Nabi, give lectures, tell them hadith and make them swear for the sake of Allah. Practice. There in the Sahaba's lives, the Holy Prophet from his blessed tongue, he didn't even leave, and they practiced it immediately. The question didn't arise, they didn't practice. Imagine. Why is there this difference between the Sahaba and us? Think. Are we not going to die? The punishments have come in the Quran. May Allah forgive. And if we don't improve ourselves, then would we not get those punishments? That we know about Salah? Namaz? Can you imagine a Muslim in a house, there's a young man and he doesn't pray Salah? There's a daughter and she doesn't pray Salah? Or is a wife and she doesn't pray Salah? Namaz, not praying, imagine not praying Salah. Is such an action, namaz was such, it is an action. The real status of Salah, or the real circumstance of Salah, the master of the two worlds, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he heard the Adhan, first and foremost, most his most beloved at that time, that's why I said that Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, she said, immediately he turned his face from us like he didn't even know us. SubhanAllah. Why? Because namaz is the first question that will be asked. When we, this is the first part of the kalima, la. You just recited it, la, from the tongue. That's it. But what did you attain if it wasn't practically implemented? We've just said it from the tongue, our kalima. That's where it stays, our kalima. It doesn't go beyond that, our kalima. Beyond the tongue. It's something we have to worry about. Life has passed, our age has increased. We will be asked severely this question. Three questions we have to answer. La, Allah, Rasul, and Deen. Allah, Rasul, and Deen. Very easy, and we think we'll answer very easily. Oh no, Allah is our Lord, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is our Nabi, and our Deen is Islam. It's not that easy that the answer will come out. There, where you, the person will pass those questions in the grave, then it will be severe questioning. I had a very close friend, and mashallah, just like you have good pious people in company, when I talk to pious people like you, I learn something. So there was a brother, he was a muttaqi, pious, and he passed away, this brother. His mother was present, and she couldn't bear the death of her son. Allah is Rahim, Kareem, and his love is more than a thousands of months ago. Anyway, Allah Ta'ala's fadl, Allah's shafqat, any affection, he saw the crying of the mother. So Allah Ta'ala allowed the mother to do ziyarah, see the dream of the son. The son came in the dream, he had died. And she, when she saw her son, he was in ease and comfort. And he said, she said, how are you? Where are you? Like the mother said, where are you? After many days, I haven't seen you. And he said, mother, don't worry, be calm. Say subhanallah. He said, be calm, mother, relax. When you load me in the grave, the people, that time I can't tell you about that time. So we read the hadith, don't we? But here, Allah Ta'ala also shows and demonstrates the examples. This time will come to us. He said, I can't tell you, mother, all the things evaporate in the thin air. You don't realize where everything's gone in your life when you pass away, the amal. Three questions happen in the grave. That who is your Rabb, your Lord? Answer, only that man will be able to give who obeyed the orders of his Rabb and lived his life according to the ahkams of his Rabb. Only he will answer that question. La ilaha illallah, not he who recites la ilaha illallah in the world. He won't be able to answer. Who demonstrates this kalama physically? Who makes a nafi this kalama? What does the kalama say? What do we do? He won't be able to answer that person because it didn't lower into, it didn't absorb into his heart. When it absorbs into the heart, then it demonstrates physically in the practice in the amal. When it comes into the amal. But then if it's not in amal, then it's just in your tongue. I'll give the example of this while I'm saying this. There was a person and he reared a parrot. He had a parrot as a pet, a person. You know, like what is it in Gujarati? Puppet, isn't it? In Gujarati. Various people have that. Someone teaches this to his parrot, this name. You'll see that parrots, they get taught names or words because a parrot is a parrot. He starts repeating. So somebody taught his parrot the kalima. Kalima. So he started reciting. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. He used to recite it day and night, the kalima. The parrot is reciting. The bird, by chance, what happened? The cage stayed open. The cage stayed open. And then the bird came, and the cat came, and it jumped. When it hit the parrot, he started going, tang, tang, tang. He forgot the kalima. Even though the parrot recited the kalima all life long, what's coming out? Tang, tang, hawk, hawk, hawk. That I'm being attacked. He's complaining. And then, what happened here? What's happening? Why didn't you recite the kalama at that time? The owner is thinking, when the cat was running after and hitting the parrot. So he went to his sheikh. Hazrat, I reared this parrot, taught it the kalima. One day the cat attacked it and he forgot the kalima, saying, ta ta. He's complaining, crying. So the sheikh said, yes, he did the right thing. Because this is not the hal of the parrot. Tomorrow we'll also be in the same situation. Why? Because the parrot learned and recited the kalima from the tongue. It didn't penetrate its heart. So it's giving you a big lesson today, your parrot. So you should try to allow the kalima to absorb into your heart. Say subhanallah. Do you understand the point I'm saying? Do you understand the point I'm saying? Yes. So a parrot, that it makes a Muslim learn about iman and deen. So this is not the case that we recited the kalima, when we die we'll recite the kalima in the grave. No. The kalima, only that person will recite the kalima that he practiced on it. Did it go into his heart? Because the kalima is a tree. It goes into your heart and it gives the fruits. The Quran says the kalima is a tree, a branch. When you say la ilaha illallah and a person comes and 60 years, I don't know Islam, tell me the kalima. He has even finished the reciting the kalima and the fruits are growing on his tree. He's running to salah, he's giving zakat, hajj is fardhi, he's doing the hajj. He's running from the sins like you're running from the snake, that whiskey he drank. And he's breaking the bottles, he dislikes the alcohol. Why? Because the effects of the kalima have rubbed off onto him. Say subhanallah. That kalima, that kalima is useful for him in the grave, soon as he goes. So he stated, that son to the mother, going back to that event, he says to mother, may I be sacrificed for my sheikh that he taught me the kalima and I allowed it to absorb into my heart. He taught me the kalima in my heart. May I be sacrificed for my sheikh that my kalima went from the tongue into my heart. So this was the question. He said immediately, that Allah is my Rabb. When I was asked, who is your Rabb? I answered. Second question, the angels asked me, this happens practically, it's happening in the grave, it happens in the grave. That time, you have to see, that time is a severe questioning, all the life's summary, what did you do in the world? It comes in that grave. The rajul, these are also the words that, there are two hadith that, either they ask, who is your Rasul, or the image comes. Who is this person? So here the mashayikh of the next month have written beautiful points. The Nabi says himself will come and he will come into the grave. Ziyara will occur. And some scholars say that a door opens until Medina and is stated, asked, who is this? And sometimes it's asked, who was your Rasul? I consider all three things are correct according to the capacity and the status of that person who's being questioned. So the person who deserved it of ziyarat, all life long, he was desperate. Then the Prophet himself will come to that blessed person's grave. When he's asked that question number two, he will do ziyarat. If he's deserved it, so in the qabr, their reality will occur. Whatever was your status and capacity, if you consider this was this love or not, you will get that result. Say subhanallah. Do you understand my point? The ashiks, lovers. Yes, did you have real love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or was it a love that you made, the fake love? Allah Ta'ala, may He give us the true deen, brothers. So when he was asked that question, he said that my sheikh, soon as he took the hand of my sheikh in my life, my body and my soul, I allowed the sunnah to come into my life. And he was like that. He was a young man. Young man. He was a flight engineer. Allah Ta'ala brought him to the deen. Then he said, everything I answer from my heart. That's it, I passed. And then third question, man deenukum. Listen, what is the deen? And if I say, and if you give me an answer, that Allah will be accepted. What is the deen? Islam. We'll all say Islam's our deen. But deen, I'll tell you, what is the deen that will be asked us in the grave and what we'll have to answer? Ihdina siratal mustaqim, siratal ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim wala dalin. This is that deen that will be questioned in the grave. Ihdina siratal mustaqim, straight path Allah, that is the deen. We'll be asked about that. And that is the name of the deen. Straightforward Islam. Which Islam? On which there will be no doubt. Dalin and not the others. Wala dalin. Ghayr al maghdubi alayhim wala dalin. There will be no imitation of them. No copying. That name of that deen is Islam, which will be accepted in the grave. There will be no similarity to that. من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. Whoever imitates another person, he will be in that condition in the grave. Remember this. Whichever style you eat in, whoever you imitate and sit, whoever you imitate and live your life, whoever you imitate, you bring your kids up like that, whichever way and style you teach, we don't say they're bad, we're just speaking. من تشبه. Whoever you imitate and copy, in reality, when you go to the real world, then that is the deen you will see visibly. Whoever you love, remember. Whoever you love and have regard for, with that person in that appearance you will be. There's an event written, Mawlana Shaykh Ali Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah has written this in his kitab. Maybe I've told you this before. There was an alim, a big scholar. In that time, in that generation, he passed away, that scholar. And sometimes it happens that you dig up an old grave and lower somebody else, bury somebody else in that grave. So there the grave was dug up, opened up, that alim's grave, and somebody else was to be lowered into them. And the alim sahab was buried there before, and they thought, this is also an alim, we'll bury him here in this grave of the old alim who's buried. So when they dug open that grave, that alim's grave, inside what was there? There was a corpse of a sort of a Western appearance, body. They said, eh? What's this? Nobody else can come here. In Medina, how can somebody else be buried here? Or in Makkah? They were shocked, amazed. They looked again. He's not here. That man is not here, the alim. He wasn't there, present. He's not from this qawm. This was some Western person from a foreign land. They were surprised. They sealed the grave, and then they didn't bury the other alim there. They were concerned. They had worried. What's the reason for this? What's happened here? Ulama sat together. They pondered. This is an event written, confirmed. They had concern. So they did mashwara, they researched. What can be the reason? They arrived to his house. And because the wife has the secrets, because he was a big alim, a scholar, they said, what's happened to the grave of the husband, your husband? This grave, there's somebody else in there. Another corpse is lying there. So when they questioned, they couldn't get the answer. They thought maybe the wife has the answer. They went and asked the question to the wife, that your husband, who is the alim, do you know something about him? She said, yes, he was pious. He prayed tahajjud. Tell us something, they said. She said, I can't understand really, but maybe in your life something happened. She was thinking. She said, yes, there was one point about him. It was a minor thing, she said. What was that, they said, they asked him. She said that whenever in the cold winter months there were nights that were cold, we used to sleep in the night. And then from his mouth, he used to say this statement, maybe in joke or jest, that, Yar, you know this other religion, those people of that religion, at least after doing this action, they don't have to have a bath. And we have to have a bath from our religion. Do you understand what I'm saying? What he said? He said, at least that's good, they don't have to have a bath. And by joke, he says that. They said, oh, that's it. فَمَنْ تَشَبَى بِقَوْمٍ, whoever has a love or regard or agreement with the other qawm, then in the grave he will be like that. This is written, this event. Where did his ibadah go? His ilm, his knowledge, his Quran, his hadith. Where did all of this go? So this is the principles and laws of Allah, brothers. Don't make your own rules and principles. You can't weigh on your own scale. If I do this, this is fine. If I do this, I'm forgiven. If I do this, who will ask me? No, I'm this and I'm that. Nothing at all. Law of Allah. Principle Allah Ta'ala has laid down the job. We have to do all of those things. According to that, you have to practice and you have to live your lifestyle. Subhanallah. We, shaitan, he shrinks everything, makes it minor. Oh, these are small things, not important. If you consider deen as minor, not important after dying, then you will be destroyed due to that. Allah say, how did you do this action? Did you not hear that what my Habib Sassam said? That you will wake up in that shape or form according to those who you love, or who you imitate, or you have regard. Whoever you bring into your lifestyle. So this is something to pay attention to, brothers. Today is very minor in our society, in our minds. Think in your homes. Look in your homes. Oh, I did this. It's no problem. It don't make any difference. This is not necessary. They do this. They do this. Even if I say to you, even if the wound comes, does make no difference. We have to practice the deen. So man deenukum, the question will be asked. That deen will come out of the deen in which that in your life you experienced it physically, you live your life. Ihdina siratal mustaqim siratal ladina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Say subhanallah. We even if we say, oh, Yar is so great here. That's it. You've praised. You've praised. Or if it's always so much enjoyment and luxury, if you enjoy, if you praise that person who Allah dislikes and his things you praise, think for a moment. Allah says, what have I given to you? And you prefer and like and you praise that person. Do you know what is the punishment I've given to this person? That doesn't matter if he's enjoying, he's got luxury, but Allah says, in the form of punishment I've given to this. Do you want that as well, Allah says? In this condition, I've given you so many rewards and I've given you so much ni'mas. Abu Hurairah, the iman I've given to Abu Hurairah, I've given to you. The Quran Tala had I given to you. What did he get and what have you got today? Say subhanAllah. So is this the appreciation value of deen? Allah says that when you see the things of people who don't have the deen, oh, they're enjoying, look at their life, and look at their luxuries, look at the things they've got, the items they've got, and you praise them. Even if you're living in a mud shack and you're sweeping the ground, you've got torn clothes, then even you cannot get to the dust on the heel of his foot if he's got iman in his heart. If he's got, they cannot get, if he's got iman and Quran is and his heart is attested that I believe in Allah, no one in the dunya can get to the dust on the heel of his foot. These questions, these three questions are very severe. And to give the answer, when the third answer gave, the son said, because my shaykh had brought the sunnah into my life, said that son, Naqshbandi teacher teaches this deen. He makes you the real genuine article that Naqshbandi Shaykh transform you. He brings the siddiq, the sincerity into the life of the person. He doesn't bang the empty drum, the empty box. He brings the deen into the student. If you want to be human being, then become the real human being. Yes, go to a Naqshbandi Shaykh, straight, direct, with sincerity, leave everything behind and just remember your akhirah and request that guidance. Leave all your fussiness on this and that. You're nothing. We're nothing. Kalama should come into the heart. Say subhanAllah. Quran should be such we should do amal on the Quran. Practice on the Quran. Deen should be such in that all you see is sunnah beyond sunnah, nothing else. This is the question. Then going to the grave, the man, he said, soon as I answer this, then he said, that the left side of mine in the grave, the Jannah was opened up for me. The Jannah was opened up for me, the grave. Today, do you know, he said to his mother, why are you crying? Why are you sad? I'm telling you the dialogue the son said to his mother. He said, why are you crying, my mother? Why are you concerned? Do you know that where's my transportation? What is my transportation? Let me show you, my mother, what is my transportation. And he said, look at this. Such a beautiful transportation in the grave. He said, do you know how I sit on it? And he jumped and he sat on the transport. And like the wind, he was flying. He said, assalamu alaikum, mother, we'll meet again. This is the event the mother saw. This is not a vision. This is reality, she saw. 100% reality. And I know this, I know them so well. I heard this from my ears, this event. It's a fact, this event. Do you believe what I'm telling you? Yes. For which reason? Shaban, Ramadan is close. We have to learn. We are revising. What are we revising? Correct your iman. Correct your faith. Do you understand iman? Yes, what the iman that we require in the grave, that is the iman we need to practice. That is the Quran we have to bring. Not that you just turn the pages and wear them down by reading. First verse of the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, is so great. If you practice from that verse, it's enough. Surah Fatiha, there's no greater surah. And it opens and unravels the Quran. The summary of the Quran is in Surah Al-Fatiha. The whole summary of the Quran is in Surah Al-Fatiha, the deen. The respected scholars are here, ask them. I say this for my passion. The whole life of yours, if you do tafsir of Surah Fatiha, your life will finish. You can't finish the tafsir of Surah Fatiha. Your whole life long do tafsir. The paper will run out. The books will run out. The tafsir of Surah Fatiha will not end. That's too much. Just you can't do tafsir of Alhamdulillah your whole life long. I am telling you, I don't talk empty words. I'll tell you reality. Your hands will stop. The tafsir is another point. Even if you take the points of Surah Al-Fatiha out, Alhamdulillah, that's you won't be able to do that in your lifetime. Brothers, this is Quran. SubhanAllah. We're just playing our own games. Stuck in our own ways. Someone saying this, he's got this opinion, he's got this opinion. Brothers, prepare for the grave. Simple preparation of the grave according to the deen. Subhanallah. The doors of Jannah will open and the mazah enjoyment will come in Barzakh. Hereafter you'll get Jannah. Beautiful fragrant smell, mazah, enjoyment, luxury. You won't remember what was the world we lived in. And that just for the sake of the dunya, we're doing nakal. We're becoming chamche, your sidekicks. Yes, our faces become like that, imitating. And false Quran we recite, false sujood, false prostration, lie, fraud, imitation, fake. It's just a temporary life, just like, you know, like a temporary house and evaporates like a dust. That's our life, is like the dust. Become real, become genuine. So what was he talking about? The car in the beginning. Yeah, well, I sat you in the car in the beginning, the vehicle. And then the car broke down, didn't it? When I said to you, the car broke down. And then what we were looking for? The diagnostic. Then we looked for the solution. Then the car started up. So now we need to start up our deen again today. Just like that broken down car. We need to start up the car of our deen. You're not just you listening to, I don't know where in the world people listening to me. May Allah give hidayah to everybody. Guidance. Me first and foremost. Me. Yes. So when you have iman, and such an iman that I've explained to you, and such a Quran, and when you have the deen and the status of ahsan, then doesn't he read in the Quran? He accepts salah. He doesn't pray salah. Oh, I'm lazy. Oh, he's young. Will he pray when he grows up? Oh, she's a daughter. How will she go to university, college? She can't pray salah there, namaz there. Imagine the excuses. We have iman. For the dunya, we're leaving salah, namaz. Namaz. And we don't know that when you leave salah, the thing you're running your shop, you're counting your money, or you're working in salah time, and that time you're doing another action, then the fire of Jahannam you are earning at that time. You're not bringing up your children. The children are snakes and scorpions that you're bringing up at that time. You're not filling your bank balance or treasure chest with money when you leave namaz. It's not the treasure chest. You are filling up with something else. Why are you not awake? When Sharia doesn't give you excuse, permission that you can leave salah for these reasons, how can your brain and mind accept that my son doesn't pray salah, my daughter doesn't pray salah, that this man doesn't pray salah? What excuse under the sun allows you to think that? Let's come back to the car. Why isn't the car starting? My car's broken down. There's a reason, isn't there? Say subhanallah. Then why don't you look for the reason why the car's broken down? Why don't you find out the reason why the salah is not being prayed? Why are you sitting there and giving up? Will you leave that when the car's broken down on the road? Will you just park it up and leave it and shun it and never come back? Good example I'm giving, isn't it? Will you ever leave the car and never go back to it? So tell me today that I left the key in the car, forget it, it's broken down. Let's just leave it forever. We'll sit in the bus and go, and we won't come back to the car. A, B, C, you start phoning, oh, you come here, come and help me, you'll pay someone, please, I've got to restart this car. Have you ever thought your iman vehicle's broken down? Such an iman, doesn't allow you to pray namaz, it doesn't stop you from the sins, your iman. It doesn't stop you from zina, adultery, it doesn't stop you from sin, it doesn't stop you from zina, or riba, or interest, or immodesty, or breaking parda. Rather, you don't think about your daughters, your mothers, your womenfolk, they are naked, and they're wasting their time doing dirty actions, immodesty in weddings and functions, they're bareheaded, naked, you're sitting with them, talking nonsense, alcohol is being drank at home, children are drinking alcohol, they see their father drinking alcohol. Iman we've got iman. Why is the car broken down? We've got fikr, concern. We're all concerned. Tabligh jamaat's doing work, dawah, tabligh, hadith are being read, bayans, lectures, wise zikr, majlis. But think for a second, what's happened? Why has all this happened? We don't think about the reason. We just do talk. Pray salah, do this, do that. Seek the root cause. Repair the car. If you just talk about it, standing next to the broken down car, will it be repaired automatically? So this is a big deception. Keep talking, keep telling them. And then nothing changes. What's the reason? So there must be a root cause he's not praying salah. There must be a reason that she's doing zina. There must be a reason that he's swearing at you. There must be a reason why she's running away from home. That if you can be saved from ilm, then after reading Quran and hadith, then why is she running away with a person who's not on the deen? Why is she running away with a person who's not in Islam? Why couldn't you stop her? Tell me. Why couldn't you stop her? Why couldn't salah stop her? There are reasons, root causes. By pushing the car, pushing it, can you push start it always? Why couldn't it start by just pushing it? It can't drive, the fuse is broken down. There's a cause for it. Say subhanallah. There's a reason. So what's the reason to today our iman has got to this bottom pit state? What's the reason? That we are not doing amal, practicing. What's happened to the ummah, the nation? The sahaba, why didn't they have these issues? Why didn't they leave salah? I talk about one salah, all the faraiz of ours, fasting, hajj, zakat, other things. But all faraiz are the same, aren't they? That always those five faraiz are incumbent on us. What is the reason? Why? Because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that namaz is the coolness of my eyes, salah, imagine the example that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave. Through which, that when you love something a lot, you say that this is the coolness of my eyes, and this is the reality when you love something. That if you have a son, a young son, and you love the son or a grandson, or more than, for example, sons, the grandchildren, the parents, the grandparents have more son. They forget his son. He has more love for the grandchildren afterwards. He forgets his son and daughter. When he has grandchildren, the grandson, father, he has so much love. You can't imagine. Here, I remember Imam Hussein, Hazrat Hussein, how much the Prophet used to love Hazrat Hussein. Hassan radiallahu anhu, Hussein. So today we realize that when you have grandchildren, grandson, granddaughter, then even your son says something that don't do this to the grandchildren, you feel like slapping him. How dare you say to me? Don't you? You take the side with the grandchildren. It's not even your child, it's the child of your son or daughter. But the Holy Prophet, we used to have so much love for his grandchildren. And what did the Ummah do? Tell me, what did the Ummah do? The reason was this, because the car had broken down for some reason. So what is the root cause, the reason due to which, what is lacking in our lives? Look, my stomach is paining or upset. The first of all, we say, what did he eat? You'll ask. Why is his stomach upset? So you look for the reason. Why is his stomach upset? Why is it hurting? If you've got a cold, what is it that's caused the cold? The flu, is he cold? Has he got an infection? So you look for the root cause, the reason. Why did he get an infection? What's the reason? Why? Until you don't get to the why, the analysis, you can't cure that problem. So why is this happening with our deen? Why are we so weak? Why is it a storm to practice the sunnah? Why is it a storm to practice Allah's orders? If Allah is saying haram, we make it halal. If Allah says halal, we make it haram. Why? Why is this? There's something lacking. Say subhanallah. So if we realize and learn that lacking, what's lacking, then we'll succeed. Shall I tell you today what's lacking? Obviously, there's something lacking. If we learn what's lacking, then will we eliminate that thing that's lacking? Obviously, if we eliminate it, then our deen will start up and it will start practicing. So if we learn, for example, if you buy that part, install that part, the car will run. You'll run to the shop, get that part, install it, so I can start my car. So I'm telling you the part today that's missing, such an iman, you'll never leave salah. Never will you go towards haram. Never will you consume interest. Never will the woman live without parda. Whoever has the passion and desire, I want to have iman, strong iman. Why is my iman not strong? I want to pray salah. Why don't I pray salah? At least you will teach your children so that you can strengthen iman, so that I can bring parda to my daughters, so I can bring a modest into them, so I can bring the board of parda into their lives and modesty. Yes, so our life, our family can become people of deen. What is it we're lacking? Shall I tell you the hadith or shall I just tell you for the sake of it? So three hadith have come in my mind. How many? One, two, three hadith. Abu Umama, Abu Huraira, three hadith from Mishkat. Three hadith from Mishkat. I remember these hadiths, so I'll share them with you. Yes, this is the lesson for us. Do you know what is lacking? The highest status, the Sahaba Ikram, that's why they practice the deen on the right way. They're the high class practice. That's why they were the Sahaba, say subhanAllah, the noble companions. Their level nobody can get to. Nobody after them. In salah, their salah, The Sahaba, nobody could pray that salah. Their sadaqah, nobody could give sadaqah after them. Their sadaqah, even if they gave sand and we give the gold mountain, their sadaqah was greater. Greater. The 100% completely they had their deen. And today that's finished in our lives, in our ummah. Do you understand what I've said up till now? Do you understand what I've said up till now? Okay, let's go further. Let's continue. So let's solve the problem, so that you can be free from this discussion and we can do dhikr. Brothers, what was in the Sahaba, the factor, the element that's not within us, that's finished, due to which we run around and we are running after things. And there was one thing, just one thing. Muhabbat. Subhanallah. Love. Say subhanallah. Love of the deen. Deen equals love. That person cannot practice the deen who doesn't have love. When love is taken out of a person's heart, then his deen is finished. Deen is finished. Iman is that in which there is love. Quran is that in which there is love. Deen is that in which there is love. Love, if you take the smell of love out, then you'll be like us today, our religion. It will be the Quran like our Quran today. And the deen like our deen is today. Muhabbat is finished. Love is finished. Yes, just goes away. It's evaporated, it's disappeared. Love is gone. And then we just left, just on top, just like that parrot, tan, tan, tan. Recite the kalima. When the death came, then he started doing tan, 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 making noise, because there was no love. There was no love. There's no love inside us. Anything, if you love something or somebody, if you love something or somebody, what do we love mostly today? Money. Wealth. Money. If you sat on a bed and if there's a businessman, oh, there's a transaction, it's so cheap in the market, that those goods in Scotland, and by the evening we'll go, I'm coming now, just get that car. It won't stop for a minute, you'll get the car. I'll tell you the truth, if there's a great bargain transaction, you won't stop. Where there's money, saving, wealth, when there's a situation regarding wealth and money, today in the dunya, you see, just for this reason of money, due to wealth, and money, and status, and image, the whole world is clamor and noise. Murder, fighting, divorce, wretchedness, cursing, forget it, there's nothing else apart from this. Look, in our own countries, what are the reasons is the game of life is being played out? What is the game? Mal. It's all about mal, money. Is this not the case? Tell me. This is the status of our iman, due to the wealth and money. A person's running after, giving his life for money today. Giving his life for money. So love, if love, just like you have love for money and people are mad in the world, if Allah's love you attain, then you will be given your whole life for the love of Allah. Then will he be at rest? No, that person. Wahid, one thing. That if you install this part of love in your life to anybody, doesn't matter how he is immersed in the sins, if you install the part of love into the component of love, he'll float in the sky. He won't need no nasiha. You won't need to run after him. How did I change myself? How did I change? Let me explain to you. Let me share with you. Love changed me. Wallahi. By Allah. I used to read Tafsir Maududi, Astaghfirullah. Tafsir Maududi, I used to read, and I thought I was the most intellectual person in the world. Yes? Tafhimul Quran. Tell me, can Tafhimul Quran change anybody or anything? The enjoyment is this, that you give the example of that thing that you've experienced yourself if you want to teach someone. So I'll tell you the hadith, because in this hadith is coming in my mind now, my tongue. I can't remember exactly, but the meaning of the hadith is this. That whoever you, if you want to go on a journey with somebody, look for a colleague that he knows that journey beforehand. He has experience. In Arabic, I can't remember that hadith now. Look for a colleague, a travel companion, who himself knows that journey already. Then go on the journey with that person. He has the experience, the ups and the downs. So in life, when you have this, is the rule with the journey in the world, then if you want to go on a journey to the after, then look for that teacher, that colleague who's passed through that journey already. Then he knows the ups and downs of that journey. The pitfalls. With the fadl of Allah, practically I've passed through all of these phases. I learnt in this way, with this experience. I had no guidance beforehand. I had no guidance. I've told you already, what did I read and what was I? And after that, then what will a person, if he doesn't know about the part and how to install it, then he can't repair the car. So how can I teach you? So love, muhabbat. Muhabbat is the biggest factor that today our hal in the world, the one reason is this, that we don't have love for Allah. We don't have love for Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my brothers. We are Muslims, but we will be picked up as munafiqs after our life goes. My words are very weird for people to get angry. He's telling us that we don't have love. Yes, I'm telling you that you don't have love. I'm telling you you don't have love. Yes. I will prove to you from hadith that love isn't there. It's proven. How? We can't say we don't believe it. So first and best method is this, that such a person who has already learnt, who has experienced, and compared to that person who's not on the deen, is not practicing, if you want to bring him to the deen, the first part to install into him is love. Whose love? Not love of money, that's there already. Not the love of dunya, that's there already. Not love of women, that's already there. Which love? The love of Allah, install into that person. The love of Allah is not there. Create and develop the love of Allah into that person. Where will that love come from? Love of Allah. Where will these love come from? Next question. You can ask this question. Okay, we accept what you're saying. Okay, where will we get this love from then? Where should we ask? Who should we go to? That's a question. Arises in the mind. Nizamuddin Awliya was a great wali of Allah in history. Mehboob-e Ilahi was his title. Great Ashik Chishti Silsila Uda. Chishti. Great. No comparison to him. Nizamuddin Hazrat. I'm telling you the real. When I hear his name, I enjoy just hearing his name. A person, his name is Nizamuddin. So I met his father, another person. I said, I haven't heard anyone else name his son. Have you ever heard anyone? Is anyone of you called Nizamuddin? Have you heard anyone? He was the first person I saw in the world that three times I asked him, what's your name? He said, Nizamuddin. I said, Subhanallah. Your father kept this name. I enjoyed that when I heard his name, Nizamuddin. Because those people who love, then in their names, the love it comes, it's aroused. The Mahbub person. So I said to his father, he came from India. I said, tell me, father, how comes you named your son Nizamuddin? I've never heard anyone else in the society. And really, especially in the Gujaratis, they don't keep this name Nizamuddin. Gujaratis, I've never heard in the Gujarati society Nizamuddin. I said, you're Gujarati, how comes you kept this name for your son? And he laughed. And tell me, today, he said, in a village a man came and he told his story. And he said, I kept the name for this reason. A beautiful name, Nizamuddin. And I'm very happy when I see him, that person. His name Nizamuddin. So his name is so beloved that it makes you enjoy it. Then imagine how great wali of Allah he must have been. Nizamuddin, Hazrat Nizamuddin, Awliya, Mahbub-e-Ilahi. The beloved of Allah. He was a great alim scholar. He was from Delhi and he did munazara, debates. But his thirst of deen wasn't quenched. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya. He was always desperate for something, looking for something. Unanswered questions. Definitely the person who's on the journey to Allah, he's always desperate. He's not satisfied, content. He's looking for more. Until he doesn't get to the headquarters, to the destination, he's desperate. He's looking. So when he got to the destination, he said, yeah, now I'm enjoying my deen. So eventually he arrived to Hazrat Baba Farid Shakar Ganj in Pak Patan. When he arrived there, as a Baba Farid stood up, his sheikh, the wali of Allah, he knew already, Ilham, he said, how comes you've arrived? In Farsi, he recited a few couplets and he embraced him. Soon as he embraced him, he said, my dunya ended, I realized the deen that day. Ululum, and my ilm evaporated. He said, sit down with me, his sheikh. He said, have you studied anything? Baba Farid asked him, have you studied anything? Have you learnt anything? Are you educated? He said, I don't know about me. I forgot all of my education, Hazrat, just by seeing your face, my Shaykh. I'm jahil, I'm ignorant, said Hazrat Nizamuddin. He said, I'm finished. I have no knowledge, no ilm, nothing. You please teach me the sabak. He said, then pick up the Quran. You used to teach the world, munazara, debates, lectures, big alim, pick up the Quran. Seventh juz, he couldn't even get to that tafsir, to the seventh juz. Why? Because what was he taught? Mahbub is mibay, the beloved, the love of Allah was being taught to him. So in his dabar, a person like me, broken down, arrived to the court of Hazrat Nizamuddin, and he asked this question, where do we get the love from? That's why I'm giving here his teaching to you. So another person then went to Hazrat Nizamuddin afterwards, Hazrat, teach us. He asked a question to Hazrat Nizamuddin, that love of Allah, where do I get the love of the deen? How can we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where do we get this from? The love of dunya, we know where we get this from. You tell us, Hazrat, that the love of Allah, where do I get this from? Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya gave the reply, what a great wali of Allah. He said, the love of Allah, you want it? Then go to the sohbat of the wali of Allah, if you want the love of Allah. Yes, practically he attained it the same way, didn't he? Like I just told you. So he said, go to the sohbat of the wali of Allah, the sheikh. So he did amal on that. He said, where do I get that from? He said, you get that way, that the friend of Allah in his vision, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance is always there. Yes, he's a wali of Allah. He's standing, sitting, walking, always in his nazar, vision is Allah in the wali Allah's company. So whatever, whoever he loves, always in his heart is Allah. So if I love my shop, then my dream is my shop. This is the reality. Whatever you love and like and have regard for, always in your mind is absorbed, you're thinking about it. Always. There are different types of love that Allah Ta'ala has shown. Children, women, shahwat. All these are loves in the world. All of these are there. Why? Why do we have love in them? Because this is the test and the challenge for us in the dunya. That, for example, the test when it comes, the question is asked, does he come this way or does he come that way? Do you understand the couplet? Allah has tested himself. So beautiful the dunya I've made, and now I'll see that does he turn to me, the Lord, the Creator, or does he run towards the dunya? This is the poem. So this is the test. So whose love is overwhelmed, you'll ask the question. Dunya, or does he come towards Allah? So brothers, he asked that always in the heart is Allah. So when you sit with the wali Allah, then also you come into that remembrance of Allah as well. End of question, end of story. So the wali Allah, if he is always thinking and remembering Allah, then when you sit in his sohbat, then that remembrance will come into you as well. So the love of Allah will come to you. Do you understand the point I'm making? So where will you get love from? You don't understand? Yes. In the company of the wali Allah, the awliya Allah, the sheikh. The same fikra Hazrat Sahib told me. He said, if you want to attain Allah, then sell yourself to somebody. If you want to attain Allah, sell yourself to somebody. Assign yourself fully over to somebody. Become somebody's. If you become attached to a wali Allah in his sohbat, subhanAllah, then what happens? Allah, then you come into the sight of Allah. You come into the sight of Allah. Then inside you, when that part of love is installed in you, then the car of love starts in your life, and the deen, the broken down vehicle of deen, starts up. And such a way to attain the love, then you don't need to read any kitab. You don't need to read any tafsir. No sunnah you need to learn officially. You understand what I'm saying? Listen what I'm saying. No sunnah officially you need to read or educate yourself. No, practically you don't need to read anything. You will not be dependent on a kitab. You won't be dependent on a teacher. No. Sohbat the sheikh is such a startup. Sohbat, company of the teacher, is such a startup. Immediately one thing comes into you. Remember this point I'm telling you. Through sohbat the sheikh. You know we say, that I'll tell you the masala to explain this further. Muhabbat is such a factor, sohbat of the sheikh, company of the teacher, of the wali Allah, such a thing, immediately what comes into your life, the love is generated, ignited inside you, ignited. And that desperateness comes inside you, desperateness. Ignition. And love is such a thing that when love comes inside you, you go to the sheikh, immediately love is ignited inside you, nothing else. That's your practically, I'm telling you about my life. Totally, I was nothing, dust, I was nothing. Before that, not even now, but I went to my sheikh, I was nothing. I was nothing. I was like in the jungle at that time in my life. And then what happens? So bad company of the teacher, what does it teach the student? What happens immediately? Step number one, it instills love into you. Sahaba Ikram, 10, 12 years, they didn't do any ibadah. Was there salah? First 10, 12 years Islam was just sobat, company of Rasulullah. And first lesson that Rasulullah taught them was love. Lesson number one was love. Their biggest ibadah was, we want to see you, Ya Rasulullah, and you see us. That was their ibadah. Yes, they used to go and look towards him. All their hajj and umrah, everything was completed at that time. Just by glancing at his blessed face. Ziyarat al-Nabi, looking at the blessed face of Rasulullah, they had no need to do any ibadah after that. No need. I don't enjoy the subhanallah you're saying. Subhanallah. Yes, you still haven't understood. Say loudly, subhanallah. Allah will become happy that my beloved servants, they've understood the love lesson of love. Look here. So 10, 12 years, the Sahaba Ikram, first 10, 12 years of namaz, there was no namaz, there was my salah is you, my hajj is you, my Quran is you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything, their ish was so strong, embedded in the love of Rasulullah, that their whole life was transformed through the muhabbat. So the sheikh does the same effect to the student, the sheikh, the teacher. When a student attains ishq, immediately he attains ishq and love, and he is drowning in that love. The love after ishq and muhabbat, immediately what happens to that insan, that student? What happens? Then the real effects of the love come out. Itaat, obedience is the effect of the love. Naqal, imitation. The insan, he becomes obedient straight away. That's why the biggest tarbiyah for a child, what is it? Remember this. Now listen, the masala I'm telling you. That child, the most thing that is the love of the father. The love of the father. Not for the mother. Yes. Who does he love, the child? He loves the father. And why? Because he loves the father, so he follows the father in the young age, physically. Physically. If the father is a doctor, he tries to become a doctor. If the father is an engineer, he tries to become an engineer. If the father is a hafiz, he tries to become a hafiz. If the father is a waliyullah, he tries to become a waliyullah. He tries, the son. If the father wears imamah, the child will try to wear imamah. If the father prays salah jama'ah, then he'll try to pray salah jama'ah. His fitrah naturally starts to become habitual, which is instilled in the habit of the father. What a system that Allah Ta'ala has made for the tarbiyat of the children. Today we cry, oh, give him this and give this potion and give that so he can be improved. No. To correct the children, I say this regularly before wedding, if you are naughty, fine. But once the child comes into the womb of the mother, the first child, then change your life at that time, O father and mother. Forget the previous life, because both of you in your life now, the ni'mas are coming and Allah is assigning the life of the baby to you. It's your responsibility now, O parents. Otherwise you'll destroy the child. Then he will spoil his generation, then you'll destroy the ummah. Immediately after wedding, after you get married, you got big responsibility. As soon as you're married, immediately your life is transformed. Pick up the Quran. If you don't have parda, woman, wear the parda. Man starts to keep the bed. Pick up the Quran. 100% change your life, I swear by Allah. Then you will have a waliyullah as a child, I swear by Allah. You learn from the time in the womb of the mother, the child will. This is Islam that teaches us these lessons. Is this not the case? And we are waiting, I wait for the son to grow up, send him to the madrasa, Mulana Sahib, then send him Jamaat, then he'll give lectures, taqreez, then when he's an old man, then he will introduce him to Wali Allah. No, the Walis of Allah don't have miracles. Then he'll say that I can only do a certain amount, says the Wali. That you've wasted the time, as the time is passing, you have to bring the children up and accordingly so that you can prepare the grave for those people. Yes, don't for a minute should you be lazy. Always your grave is calling out to you and inviting you, and you have to prepare for that grave every second. Is this what we do with the child? With the children? You know, we bring them up for our service. When my son, daughter grows up, they do this. They haven't even got married. Then consider that your banditry is finished. If you want your son and daughter to be pious, not this you carrying doing naughty things, you're making your son alim, daughter alima, Quran, hafsa. They are dust and cut. 0.0 are those children due to the parents. Inside they've got nothing. It's all a drama and fake, I'm telling you. Because you'll have hisab and be questioned. These things you'll be questioned. It's not a course, 6 months alim, 2 years alim. These are businesses. These are trades. Look for that solution due to which iman has been spoiled. It's only one thing, and that is love. Muhabbat is devoid. We are devoid of muhabbat. Instill and ignite muhabbat through those places where you learn the love, the sohbat. Just like those people, our pious predecessors attained love. That's Allahu Akbar. The Sahaba used to bury their children alive. They used to put them in front of the idols and make them dance naked. They used to do tawaf of the Kaaba with the idols. They used to do tawaf naked. But they had love. Such an ignition of a flame that all of them became Sahaba in the company of Rasulullah. Eliminated all of the facade. And all the life he gave them a lesson that deen is the love of Allah. And whoever loves Allah, we were generated and we were created for love of Allah. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, his hadith. Iman, what we call iman. If you want to correct your iman, then look at this hadith of Mishkat. I'm doing tashrih of this hadith, explanation of this hadith. That Allah's love should be immersed. You should be overwhelmed with the love of Allah. You should meet somebody for the love of Allah. When you have enmity with somebody, it should be due to Allah's sake. Your friendship with them for Allah's sake, enmity for Allah's sake. When you give somebody something, it should be for Allah's love. You give that person. When you take from somebody, when somebody gives to you and you receive it, then it should be for the sake of Allah's love. In other words, every action of yours should become such that due to Allah's love, your every breath is being inhaled and exhaled. When you do this, then Allah guarantees you have kamil iman. And in the grave, when you ask about your iman, you'll give the right answer. Allahu Akbar. Mishkat hadith. Say subhanallah. Do we have this much love inside us? That we give for the sake of Allah? That when we meet somebody, it's for the sake of Allah's love. When we have enmity, it's for the sake of Allah's love. Do we have this? When you have connection and friendship, it's for the sake of Allah's love. Is there any young man who has this? Is there anyone who has this sabak? Is there anyone who can teach this sabak? Yes, Ali Murtaza told me this same sabak. So the teacher's there. I didn't read any kitab, no mishkat I studied, no Imam Malik Muwatta, because I went, he had love, and I was fun, I drowned in his love, when I immersed myself in his love, then I was immersed in his itaat, whatever he did, and I obeyed and I practiced. And according to his life was 100% according to sunnah, so the sunnah came into my life. I sit in the masjid and say, until today he didn't say to me, keep the bed, I didn't have a bed at that time. He never until today said to me, where the imam, I didn't have an imam at that time. Until today, he never said to me that wear this libas. I never used to wear this libas then. He never until today said to me, I say this in the masjid, that wear the cloak or wear this. No part of the deen, he never said to me physically. He said, I have pulled on you and you are lost inside me. Whatever I do, you will imitate. Subhanallah. This is the sign of the real love. Now tell me, that who loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam today? Tell me. Whoever claims the love of Nabism 100%, he will do it taba, imitate the Prophet. Impossible where he has love and he doesn't have that lifestyle. My life tells me this. If I learn this from the court of the Wali Allah, if I loved him, that without imitating him, I can't follow my life and say I love him, then how can you say you love Rasulullah without imitating him? How can you disobey the Prophet? Do you understand the point I've just said or not? 100% clear. And when this is kamil iman comes into the life of a Muslim, why? Due to love, due to muhabbat. This iman becomes like this, and Allah calls out, Jibreel, ta'al hina, come here, come to me. Ta'al Jibreel, come. Yes Allah, yeah, hadith of Mishkat, ulama, respected scholars are present. Yes Allah, yes Azur Allah, your majesty. Allah hukum, says Jibreel. Allah says, today I have love for this man. Allahu Akbar. Imagine Allah saying this to Jibreel. Because he is the head of the angels, Jibreel. Jibreel, listen to me, Allah says. Listen. This man sat in Bolton, Qari Sahib, that he's become mine today, Allah says. He's become mine, I've become his. Because his iman is complete. Why? Because this man, he went to a Wali Allah, my friend, and he absorbed his deen and style into his lifestyle. So he's attained love. Is it, Jibreel? Allah, you love him? Allah says, yes, I love him. Then you do one thing, Jibreel. What I do, then you should also love him as well. Allah says to Jibreel, alayhi salam. He says, Allah, I love him as well, Jibreel, alayhi salam said. So Allah started the love, and Jibreel started loving him. When Jibreel loved him, then Jibreel announces to all his angels, all the heavens. Oh, listen, Allah loves this man. Jibreel loves him also. So all angels say, we also love that man also, say the angels. Subhanallah. In the heavens when they announce, then in the earth the creation also announces. Then every atom and dust particle and piece, animal, bird, parrots, ants and spiders and fish and mosquitoes, suddenly all at the same time, if Jibreel loves this man, Allah loves this man, and the heavens love this man, we all creation love this man as well, Allah. Imagine that wali Allah, that's why he ushered the lion, he sat on the back of the lion recognized him, that's why he grabs the snake, that's why the spiders run away from him, the birds fly away from harming him, because they know him. They think he's a magician. He's not a magician. He just does one action. What is that? Muhabbat he brought into his heart. Allahu Akbar. One thing lacking, this part is not installed in the broken down car. Do you understand now the lesson of today? This part is not in our bodies, in our hearts. That's why we're wretched today. We run from salah because we don't love Allah Ta'ala. All these things, that's why our deen is incomplete. All of this, the fault lies at which point? Remember my lesson, what I'm saying. This faqir is telling you, how will we bring these things? Say loudly, how? Through muhabbat, love. Kitab inside, subhanAllah, there's a poem that you'll be illuminated from within, how? At the footsteps, at the feet, from the nazar, the vision of the shaykh, or the wali Allah. That's their karam, their eyesight, their vision, and it changes the destinies of so many people. This is the reality. Reality. Yeah, I passed through this experience myself. I didn't read no kitab. One kitab, Ali Murtaza, the kitab of Ali Murtaza, end of story. That's what I read. That's it. He was a Kamil Sheikh, complete Sheikh. And then I did knuckle of his, because when love came, the knuckle will come. When love came, I didn't feel that Hazrat Sahab does something and I don't do that. Hazrat Sahab's wearing imama, I don't wear imama. Couldn't feel that the Hazrat Sahab has a full bed, I didn't keep the bed. Hazrat Sahab wearing the libas, I didn't feel I don't do that. He didn't say nothing to me. The whole deen came into me automatically. What was lacking was what I was lacking. Was not lacking from his part, from his teaching. So was this, where there's love, what will you see? Say loudly. You will have obedience when there's love. When you, due to the love of a man, you obey that man. Then when you love Allah, will you not get the obedience from Allah? Will you disobey Allah? So what a big liar, munafiq, hypocrite. Dawah we claim, we read Quran, come in the masjid, we celebrate Eid and Ramadan, we say we love Allah. Then if you love Allah, then why do you commit sins? Why do you break Allah's orders? Why don't you consider haram as haram? Tell me. No, we don't have love. Still lacking. Go to a wali Allah, take his hand and revive that love. In that tariqah that you've adopted your life, then you cannot attain the love in that way. It's artificial injection, all of these. The real injection, go to the foot, the company of the wali of Allah. The real wali Allah, go to their company. Of the complete connection, going back in the chain to the holy prophet, the whole shajra, he back to this shaykh, to this shaykh, to this shaykh. Take his hand, don't take the fake people. Yes, has to be a shajra that goes back. The hand meets the hand, the man, the hand meets the hand goes back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's how you'll get the fares. And in whom, if there's no love of the sheikh, then he will never obey his sheikh. Thousands of things you can say to him, but he will only keep the bed that long. He will shake and he'll sit in front of the sheikh, but he'll do the same sins. Why? Because he doesn't have the love of the sheikh, he doesn't have muhabbat. He's just an empty box. Duff. Abu Jahl, he didn't have love, he stayed Abu Jahl. Abu Bakr had love, he became Abu Bakr. It was just not the case. But Abu Bakr Siddiq, the love came into him and he became Siddiq. Umar, radiallahu, what was he before? Love came, what did he become? Farooq, Al-Farooq. There's a difference. Farooq, amazing state. What was he before? And then became, that he was the differentiator, the difference maker between Iman and non-Iman. That's what he became. What a great status. So, we should recognize our hypocrisy. This tota parrot deen we've got. That tan tan, that's what we say in the puppet language in the grave, and the kalma will be just to the tongue and that's it. But when it goes into the heart, obedience will start. The second question was what? In the grave? Tell us, who is this man? Nabi Sassam, do you know this man, the Holy Prophet? Will be asked. Yes, I know. I was an ashik. We're all saying now we're ashik, subhanAllah. Guru is saying that, but the demonstration of love, the ashik of Guru. So man habba sunnati fa man habba ni, straightforward. That if you say you love me, then the proof of my love, said Nabi Sam, that you have to imitate me. I said that the proof of the love is nakal. Remember this, the proof of the love is nakal. And I've seen my colleagues changing. They come in a different way, different color, different this, different beard, different imama. I say, this is the color. And then after a while, they've got beards longer than me, mashallah. Bigger imamas than me. This is muhabbat. Dalil in the world, they've given that who I love, I start to imitate. Allah's Nabi has given them good news. Go, Jibreel, announce that I love that person. So brothers, work hard. Time is short. If you have gone to the court of the wali of Allah, sober, then love him. Don't do munafiqat, hypocrisy. Love the sheikh, not hypocrisy. What is love of the sheikh? Mohabbat is that you have to give up everything. Whatever it is now, that is just you, end of story. That in the love, the me is gone. If he's calling you 10 p.m., you go. Calling you 12 a.m., the sheikh is calling you, you go. 3 a.m., he's inviting you, you come at 3 a.m. There's no law of yours. In love, there's no law. Me disappears. Nizamuddin Awliya went to Baba Farid Shakar Ganj, rahmatullah. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya went to Baba Farid Shakar Ganj, the one he went, and he saw his torn clothes, imama, and downtrodden, and no kameez, because he had a status when he went there for a few moments. He said, you? Are you Nizamuddin? Mulana Nizamuddin? He said, I'm not Mulana anymore. Subhanallah. I'm not Nizamuddin anymore. He said, I'm not. He said, what is this appearance of yours? That today if you were in Delhi, you had fame and status and maqam, and the kings used to respect you. What are you doing now? People said, what has happened to you? What's happened? What's going on here? He replied, I'll tell you right now what's happening. When it was time for food, and then he put the pot of food on his head, and he had the spoon himself, and he's giving the food himself. He said, the satisfaction I'm getting out from this khidmat, I got no satisfaction before that in the company of the kings. Why? Because that was nafs, and this is love. I'm doing everything due to love now. Due to the love of Allah, I've sold myself. And you can't understand the taste of this. The same Nizamuddin Awliya, subhanallah, the same Nizamuddin Awliya, that if you see the price of his shoes, the price tag that went on his shoes, that even Hazrat Nizamuddin Amir Khusru, he was an ashik of Hazrat Nizamuddin, because I'm telling you the stories of the ashik story, isn't it? Love. We have always said, there's a gathering of the Sufis, the Waliyallah. I don't teach jurisprudence or fiqh. I don't teach fiqh. Those classes are there during the week, mashallah. Ilm and knowledge. Hey, when you come here, then you will learn these principles in this gathering. Whoever likes this, fine. If you don't like, then you can go. That's it. End of story. Do you like what I'm saying today? You like these points? Is the love coming into your heart? The love of Allah coming into your heart? Then leave the gathering as an ashik, as a lover. If you've got everything in your life but no ishq, then you'll have shaitan as your colleague. But shaitan had everything, but he didn't have ishq in his life. And look what he did afterwards. Wretchedness. So become ashiks. Muhabbat is the biggest factor, element, biggest asset. The whole deen is based on love. From love, you will get success. And from love, you will get the success due to love. Remember this. Remember this. And if you love somebody, then he should be true, genuine love. Yes. That pull yourself together, I shouldn't be a hypocrite, he's a wali Allah, don't do drama with the sheikh, what will I get? Because I have to learn deen from him. So I have to have real love for my teacher, for my sheikh. Doesn't matter who he is. Whoever you love or have a connection with, then before you make that connection with the teacher, you have to ask yourself the honest question, I have to make real love with him. Doesn't matter if he tells me off, ridicules me, and strict me, if he says, go and pick these shoes up, do this and that, I don't care, I'll follow and obey his orders. With real love. Hazrat Baba Farid did this. He said, okay, Nizamuddin, take this. Take this pot of salan, the food, and go and give the food out to the students. He said this to Hazrat Nizamuddin. So what's the value? How did his price tag increase? Once, Amir Khusru, the king, he went with the king, and Toglu was the name of the king, and they were on a journey. Toglu, and then he recited the poems, very good Farsi poems, and the king was happy. And 700,000 consider, don't know what the concept is, 700,000 pounds of today, the currency at that time, the king, he said, hey, that's a gift for you. He took that gift of 700,000. He got the gift because the king liked the poems that he recited. In the night he lay down and everyone was sleeping and he was awake. Look at the ishq, the love. He said, why don't you go to sleep? He said, that I can smell the fragrance of my Shaykh. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The Bolton, the smell of Bolton I can smell, he said. An example. He said, Shaykh, where's your Shaykh? He said, your Shaykh's in Delhi. And you're smelling his fragrance here? Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya was his Shaykh. He said, and how comes you're smelling his fragrance? He said, yes, he's my Shaykh. I can smell the fragrance here. He wasn't sleeping. He's looking for him. He's looking for him. He said, are you mad? He said, I'm saying that I can smell the fragrance of my Shaykh. He said, where is he? He said, so he went, he's looking, started looking, finding, and there was a man, Nizamuddin Awliya. He went to Nizamuddin Awliya, and he became his guest. One day, he stayed 2 days, and there was nothing to eat there. He said, why have you come? He said, I have no food to eat here. And the poor guest, he said, I've come to you. He said, I didn't get anything to eat. He says, I'm going. He said, sorry, I asked for forgiveness. That 2 days I couldn't even keep you as the guest. He said, I want to give you something. I've got nothing. He said, I take my shoes and wear them sometimes. This is what he gave to the guest. Another man. He guessed, he took the Ajib man. And he said, you didn't give me no food, no drink. You give me your shoes? He said, I couldn't reject that. Okay, fair enough. Nizamuddin Awliya has given me shoes. I can't reject that as a gift. He took it. He didn't have regard for those shoes though. So he put the shoes and he just threw them to the side. So that man, while he was traveling, he went and slept at the same place where Imam Khusru, at that time, he was sleeping in the same place. He smelled, and in from the shoes, he smelled the same fragrance of his Shaykh. And this is the love. This is the love. Have you anyone got this love with the Wali of Allah? Have you got this love? Then how will your salah be corrected or your beard grow properly? That's why your deen is not being made, my brothers. That's why you don't find the man, the teacher, who you can learn the love from. Subhanallah, that's why your deen is not correct. So, while he was looking, he went and he slept. He slept in the same place. He went. He said, "This is the same smell." He said, "Listen, where are you coming from?" He said to him, "Where have you come from?" He says, "Night time. Why are you pestering me? I'm trying to sleep. Who are you people?" He said, "I'm just asking a question. That where did you come from? Where did you travel from?" He said, "I came from there. I went to meet a sheikh, but I got nothing there. I just stayed 2 days." He said, "Where did you come from?" He said, "Nizamuddin Awliya, I heard about him so much. I didn't get anything to eat there." He went mad. Imam Khusru, he grabbed his foot. He said, you come from there? He said, yes, I'm coming from there. He said, where's the smell come from? He said, that's his. He just gave me his shoes. Where are these shoes, the fragrance coming from? He said, are you going to give me these shoes? He said, you can take them. He said, no. How much are you going to give them to me? I've got 700,000 riyals. Take that from me now. And the rest is alone on my head. The man was shocked. He said, the rest is alone. He saw this. He said, are you awake? 700,000 you're giving me for these shoes? He said, no, you're joking with me. He said, no, what I'm saying to you, I'll give you afterwards as well. Just give me these shoes for the sake of Allah. Please give me these shoes. You don't know what these shoes are. He said, 700,000, I won't take it, it's too much. Give me 100,000, that's enough. He was scared when he heard 700,000. He said, 700, no, he take this. After that, I'll give you more. Please give me these shoes. He said, okay, take the shoes. I don't care about them, that's fine. He took the shoes and he embraced the shoes to his chest. And the next day while he's traveling, he arrived to his sheikh. Then the sheikh laughed. He said, Khusru, very cheap transaction that you agreed with them. Subhanallah. Cheap transaction. He said, the point was this, Hazrat, that if 700,000 did not even give my life for these shoes of yours, your blessed shoes. So this is the love. Have you ever had this type of love? No, my wife will be upset, children will be upset, leave it to the children, oh, my shop, my business. So much love in the dunya, we cannot care. But for the sake of a wali Allah, you don't have that love where you learn the true love from. Will you learn salah, you learn Quran, tilawat. But we are munafiqs beyond munafiqs. So today's chapter was this, today's lesson of Shaban, of Ramadan, that's coming close. Strengthen your iman. I've told you the hadith today. And whoever today, listen, another hadith is coming to my mind. Another hadith. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, 3 hadiths I promised you, the 3rd hadith I'm sharing with you now. And just let me remember this hadith. Has Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, what an announcement and this hadith that he made. He said that the love is full of, the whole dunya is full of love, and the love of the akhirah, there's someone's in a maghrib in the west and somebody's in the east. Imagine what is the example of love. The Prophet of Allah said, there's somebody's in the west and somebody's in the east, but if they have a connection and a love that he also loves for the sake of Allah and he also loves him for the sake of Allah. Imagine this, the bond, the creation. What is in between? The connection? The love of Allah. So what is love now? Listen here. What's the point? So what's the first love? A word? Meem. Muhabbat, yeah? Meem is the first letter of Muhabbat. From meem comes ma, me, me. What's the last letter? Ta. Which in Turdu we say, tel. So he becomes tu, te. So first word is me, and the last one is tu. And in between is ha. Ha. Is the letter, isn't it? Ha. Do you understand what I'm saying? Muhabbat, meem is me. And the end is ta, you. First is Muhabbat. What does it say? That I love you. So in between is hub. Hub is in between. Says me and is you. And in between is the hub. The ha and the ba. So if the love is between me and you, look at the definition of love. Allahu Akbar. The definition of subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala has given us this understanding. So if you look here, what is love? The definition of love. Love is fantastic force. That if there's love between two people, if one's in the west and one's in the east, we learn this from this hadith. But the connection is due to Allah's love. That in your love is the heart, that I love you for the sake of Allah. Then it's stated what will happen on the day of judgment. That due to the love of the other person, that the distance between the Maghrib and the Mashriq, both will be together on the day of judgment. Both will be together. Regardless of the distance. What a great hadith. Do you understand the force of love? So Allah's given us ni'mas, we pray salah, we do dhikr, we do all of these things. But at least love for the sake of Allah as well, something or somebody. At least have love for somebody. This is the real genuine thing. But we have enmity, we criticize, we mock, and we take out defects. So when we go to a peer or a sheikh today, then we take defects out first. Look at him, he does this, he does that, he says this. Or he has this defect, or he doesn't know this. So what love will you have for that teacher? When you go to the wali Allah, to the sheikh, then go there to become his. I've come to become yours. If you want to learn deen, if you want to attain deen, if you want to learn deen, then this is how you learn deen. Today in this generation, there's only one thing that will make you close to Allah. That you, your children, your generations go and have love for the wali Allah. That's the only way. Recite Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المذنبين طه ياسين الحبيب المبين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطانا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أنت أعلم به أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا داعي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا اللهم اغفنا في بدني اللهم اغفنا في سمعي اللهم اغفنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.